Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Father, we thank you so very much and we praise you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your peace that passes all understanding. Thank you for your patience with us. Thank you, Lord, for all the blessings that you give us and all the ways that you interact with us in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit and just for guiding us and never giving up on us and for loving us as much as you do. We just lift this time up to you, Lord, and we lift this class up to you. We lift up the service today up to you, Lord, and we just thank you so very much. We lift up everyone in this church, Lord, and in the church as a whole, but in this church, Lord, we just want to love everyone. We want to be a family. We want to be able to come together peacefully and joyfully and encouraging each other. And it seems like lately little things just keep happening and popping up here and there. And we just need to be able to find the peace, Lord. And we know that you have that peace. And so we ask for it. And we just lift all the things up to you that go on. And we lift this time up to you. And we just pray that your presence would be here with us, that you would guide us, and that you would teach us what you want us to know. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, we're going to finish up number 20.
Where are we at?
We are on number 20, the Spirit quickens our mortal bodies. You're talking about Scripture. You want another one of these little things? It doesn't really help you much because I start with it, but I always go off of it. We talked a little bit last week about I told the other ladies, I said we went stop Sunday after church and I walked in and the attendant guy was there. He saw me walk in and he went like this, had it ready handed to me. I said I should text Pat and say, hey, you're very successful. He's like, oh, I think you left something that you like. Well, the first scripture we're going to look at is in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 4. But we talked a little bit last week, you know, that quickening or really means giving life to, or that's the resurrection. And so we were talking somewhat about the resurrection. We read Romans 8 that talked about life in the Spirit and living in life in the Spirit. And it's in Romans 8, it says, if we are controlled by the Spirit, he who raised Christ from the dead will raise us also. We looked at chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians and read all of that, the whole chapter, which was quite a bit, that talked about the resurrection of Jesus, talked about our resurrection, the resurrection to come. Paul was trying to convince the people in Corinth that there is a resurrection. Because there were a lot there that didn't believe in the resurrection, and we kind of got off a little bit on the whole being baptized for the dead thing. But he also talked about death coming through Adam and life coming through Jesus. Paul talked about being sown or buried and raised, and he said that we are sown perishable, but raised imperishable. We are sown in dishonor, but raised in glory. We are sown in weakness, but raised in power. We are sown a natural body, but raised a supernatural or spiritual body. And that's kind of how far we got last week. And so we're going to pick up at 2 Corinthians 4. You guys probably already found it while I was talking, didn't you? All right, this is Treasures in Jars of Clay. Actually, I'm going to back up more because it says, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. But since it says therefore, we're going to see what he's talking about. Paul does that a lot to us. So if you back up to 7, verse of chapter 3, It says, now if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, that veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes on not what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. There's a lot of stuff in there, isn't there?
Yes.
The main point, of course, is the resurrection. It's the fact that we have that treasure. And I think that I love the treasures in jars of clay. You know? I just like that whole thing. It's like the treasures in jars of clay, to me, it's kind of like, you know, I look at it and I think, well, it's kind of like, you know, maybe putting your money or your treasures in a sock in your sock drawer, or you know, hiding your valuables in a bag of frozen veggies in the freezer, or, you know, getting one of those little fake shaving cream cans with the bottom unscrew, and you put your money. It's kind of like they would put valuable things in jars of clay, because clay jars of clay were like so plentiful. They were plain. They were plentiful. There was nothing spectacular about them. They didn't stand out. They didn't draw attention. And it's just a very cool analogy to me to have like such an amazing treasure in jars of clay. And, you know, that's what our bodies are. Our bodies are jars of clay. We're breakable. We're going to break down. We're not very valuable in ourselves. But we have this amazing treasure. You know, this amazing treasure in us. And in Corinth, There was so much stuff going on there. It was such a big metropolis, you know. There was such, there was just so much that the new Christians were having to deal with. And Paul just keeps trying to push and push and push the glory of God and the resurrection and living in the Spirit.
When you stop and think of it, I mean, for hundreds of years, the Jews, you were asking them to change everything that they had stood on and believed.
Yeah.
And that's hard for anybody. When you think of how you were raised, if you were raised with a really good father, you can understand God as a father. But if you weren't, that's difficult to come to. So for the Jews, they had this pounded into their heads all their lives, and that's what they knew. All of a sudden, it was like the rug was pulled out from under them, and now this is what's true.
And Jesus talks about the Pharisees. When we read Scripture, the way that Jesus talks about the Pharisees, I mean, he says some pretty scathing things to the Pharisees because, you know, he was trying to point out the fact that their religion was religion and not a relationship with God anymore. But, you know, I know that some of the Pharisees were, I guess, power hungry and taking advantage of people and using their position for, you know, personal gain. But there were also a lot of good, decent Jews and teachers of the law that were really after the heart of God. And they were doing what they thought. Like you said, they were doing what they were taught and what they thought was the right things to do.
You know, it's interesting too. So today, we know what it's like to have a relationship with Christ, but there's a lot of churches that really don't practice that.
The
relationship. I know, having been brought up Catholic, you still go through the priesthood confession. He's the only one that can go in the tabernacle and stuff like that. So it kind of bars that relationship. At least that's the old Catholic. I don't know how they are now. But the same way with like Seventh-day Adventists, there's only 144,000 of them supposedly that are going to go to heaven. And the rest of them can't develop a relationship. So there's a lot of churches.
If there's only 144,000 that's going, then how do you get yourself to be convinced that you're one of those 144,000?
You can't.
Yeah. Which isn't what that 144,000 number is talking about, but that's beside the point.
Yeah. But it bars people from trying for that relationship.
And I don't think people realized the power of that treasure that he's talking about. I don't think they realized the power of that relationship with Christ, of that grace of God, of what God actually did, because what God did through Jesus changed everything. And you know, if I'm just a person that had grown up and I'm living in a place like, you know, Corinth had over, somewhere between 500,000 and 750,000 people living it at any one time. I mean, this was a big place. And there were so many different religions and so many different temples and so many different beliefs and so many different gods and, you know, all this stuff that, you know, it was a typical Greek, it was a typical, like, Greek society, you know, where they put a lot of emphasis on wisdom and on learning and, you know, a lot of that. And so, yeah, that's a huge thing to be asking people to do, is to change all of that. And I'm sure that those who were extremely wise didn't want to be told by some fisherman or someone that they didn't perceive as being very wise that they were all wrong.
Yeah.
And that this was right. You know, and here we are thousands of years later, and we still have the same things. We still have the same issues, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
most of us
pride. Yeah, but I love that image of the jars of clay, you know. I mean, I look in the mirror in the morning when I shave and when I get dressed, and I'm not a whole lot to look at anymore, but to realize that I have that amazing, amazing treasure, that power of God, that Holy Spirit that gives me understanding of some of the things that, you know, of God is just incredible. It's incredible to me to think that, you know. And I think sometimes we take it for granted, you know. It should be out. This is an amazing, this is the whole key to everything, the key to eternity, right? We should be out screaming it from the mountaintops. I mean, we should be running around to everybody, and, you know, we don't. We just kind of, we take it, we accept it, we love it, we appreciate it. I don't know.
And we share it when we're given the opportunity, but we should pray for those opportunities.
Yeah.
Because a lot of us aren't bold enough to just go out and say, hey, let me tell you about this.
And look for them.
Yeah.
But I think about how I share now compared to, like, how the apostles or how Paul or how some of these guys were sharing, you know, and I'm ashamed.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I'm ashamed because, you know, these guys, it was their whole life.
Mm-hmm.
They dropped everything, and it was their whole life. And
can't all be Billy Grahams.
Right. There's not a lot of people that are like that these days. But there's enough of us, we still should be reaching everybody, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Let's take a look at, where am I at here?
Speaking of Billy Graham, I wonder how John is.
John.
That used to come there.
John Cater. He was home a couple of weeks ago, but he came home on Sunday night, and he was just here till Wednesday. He really doesn't want to come home anymore. He wants rid of that property, and he wants to move on.
He wants to sell that property, is that what you said?
He's had it for sale for
him. So, well, it's a pretty good sized piece of property.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is it?
110 acres.
Well, Jeremy mows some of it, but I don't know how much of it he mows.
And he's asking a whole lot of money for it.
Yeah.
It's worth a lot of money. But that, where it is, I mean, it would take a really special person to own it, but he really wants to be rid of it. He wants to move to Colorado. He's moving on with his life, which is good, but
yeah,
I miss him being here because he had a lot of good input there.
He had a way of looking at things from a perspective that
totally
was really, you know, that wasn't the norm, and it was usually right on.
Yeah.
It was nice. Let's look at Philippians 3. Focus in this room. Yes. Yeah. The music grabs my attention.
Mm-hmm. You want to start singing along?
I do. Yes, I do. Philippians 3. Philippians 3:12. But I'm going to back up again. Philippians 3:12 is what I had. But let's back up. Let's just start at 1. It says, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same thing to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are circumcised, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless." I'm like, well, what a nice Jew Paul, what a good Jew Paul was there, you know? I mean, he's kind of pointing out what a good Jew he was and all the things that he had going for him before Christ. And then he says, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith." And here's the resurrection part. "I want you to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His suffering, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection of the dead." Now this is, when you go to 12, it says, "Not that I have already obtained this, or have already been made perfect." And that's the this that he's talking about. He wants to know Christ and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship and sharing in His sufferings and becoming like Him, so that he can attain resurrection from the dead. "Not that I've already obtained this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body." Of course, he's talking about the transformation. And, you know, if we're talking about resurrection, then we're also talking about that transformation that takes place in our bodies when we are raised. But I also love where it says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, pressing on, leaning in and pressing on. I love that. And I think that we always have to keep that in the forefront. We always have to keep forgetting what is behind and pressing on.
Yeah, because it can bring us down. It can keep us from getting blown.
blessings. It can keep us from moving on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Depending on what it is.
Yeah, because we can drag stuff around. I mean, I'll tell you what, if I go back and start making a big list of all the things that happened to me and all the ways that I responded and all the things that I've done myself, I mean, I got a pretty big bag of garbage to be dragging around all over the place, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a ball and chain, and you're trying to move forward, run the race that Paul likes to use the phrase of, you know, running that race, and you can't drag all that stuff around and get anywhere. You know, we got to let go of all that stuff. But for me, it's like the key is forgiveness. It's forgiving what others have done, and it's accepting the forgiveness of God and learning to forgive myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I can forget what's behind and move forward. You know, that key is the forgiveness. Because if I don't forgive me, I'm just going to keep dragging it around, even God, though God has already forgave me.
You know, I know this sounds a little crazy, but when I think about that, I had started reading on the brain. It just switched so much how God designed our body. And when we carry those negative things, it changes the endorphins and the chemistry in our body. You know, and we can't always be the best tools when we're like that.
Well, I think that's what makes us ill sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very frequently. Stuff that we've carried around and haven't forgiven ourselves for.
Yeah, that's amazing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's not just psychological or even spiritual. It becomes physical.
That's what I was getting at, yeah.
Yeah. I also like the part where he says, only let us live up to what we have already attained. And what I like about that is what that says to me is that I don't have to know everything to share. I don't have to have all the answers to share what I do know. Right? It's like if I'm reading something and I get that aha moment, or I have something that God or the Holy Spirit convicts me of and He teaches me something and it becomes truth and I understand that it's God's truth, I can get out there and share that right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he said, only let us live up to what we have already attained. You know, and I love that because I do know people, I know Christians that are Bible-believing, good people, good Christians, but they tend to intellectualize everything to the point that it's just knowledge.
Right.
You know? It's like, okay, let's look at this and let's break this apart so much and break this down and see exactly what this means and all. Let's go back and look at all the history of it and all. Let's go back and look at all this. And I love to do research on stuff, but I don't have to have all those answers before I share. If God says this is a truth I'm giving you, I can share that now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's anybody. That's anybody. Yeah.
I also think that we have to realize some answers we're not going to have here.
No, we're not.
And there are people that want to know why. Well, you'll know why one day, and it won't be important to
you. Right. It's like choose your battles, because some things really aren't that important to you.
Yeah.
Get into it over.
Yeah.
Take up the time.
Yeah. Kind of sounds like the old answer parents gave their kids all the time, but you know, sometimes it's like, because God said so.
Yep. Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
So, because God said so. That's why. And He's the authority. One more. Let's look at First Thessalonians.
First Thessalonians.
I don't know why that's hard for me to say this morning.
I don't either.
First Thessalonians 4.
Chapter 4?
Yep. I'm going to read all of chapter 4 and some of chapter 5.
Okay. course you are.
Well, I mean, they're not long.
It's not that long.
They're not that long. I like context.
No, I'm just teasing.
I know you are. I like context, you know? I don't like pulling out a verse and saying, oh, this is this. I like the context.
I know. We all know.
All right. So, 1 Thessalonians 4, start at verse 1. It says, finally, brothers, we instruct you how to live. We instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lusts like the heathen who do not know God. And that in this matter no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for all such sins, as we have already told you and warned you. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. Now about brotherly love, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all the brothers throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers, to do so more and more. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left to the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Now, brother, about times and dates, we do not need to write you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should not surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Now, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle. Encourage the timid. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything, hold on to the good, and avoid every kind of evil. If we can do that, we just got it made. Yeah. Right? We can do that. We got to...
Hey!
What's going on?
I'm late, buddy.
No, we're just about done.
Well,
there's a seat. Yeah, if we could do that all the time, right? That's excellent advice for all of us to live. And I know that when people talk about the resurrection, this is a scripture that a lot of times that they'll talk about, because you know when this is what everybody uses to say, talk about the rapture, right? That at the trump, at the voice of the archangel, at the sound of the trump, that the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air. You gonna say something? Oh, that's an amazing picture, a visual that I get in my head. You know, I don't know what you guys visualize when you think of that, but in my head, that's an amazing thing. It's like, you know, the dead in Christ just rise first, and then the rest of us are taken up. I don't know if I want to be dead in Christ to rise first, or if I want to still be alive so that I can just be caught up in the air. You know, I think I'm cool either way, but it'd be pretty amazing to just all of a sudden, boom, there it is, and you're being caught up into the air, and you're watching the millions of Christians around the world that are just being caught up in the air and all coming together with Christ in the clouds. I don't know. That'd be incredible. Would that not be an incredible thing to be in the middle of? Yeah, well, it's coming. It is coming. Not sure exactly when, but it is coming. But that's a lot, those final instructions. I could read that over and over and over. In fact, I'm going to read it again. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord. 1 Thessalonians. I'm reading 5:12.
1 Thessalonians 5:12.
Yeah, I'm reading 12.
Okay, I
got you. It's final advice or final instructions that Paul's given to the Thessalonians. He's saying, now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. We urge you, brothers, to warn those who are idle. Encourage the timid. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good and avoid every kind of evil. That's a mouthful. If we could all do that all the time, the church would be amazing. Every building would be bursting. But to do that, that takes the Holy Spirit, you know?
Yeah.
It takes the Holy Spirit to help us do that. We got to get out of our own way. I don't know about you guys, but I get in my own way probably more often than anything else. It's just...
Well, I got you, but something happened at work.
Okay.
You know? There was this girl, this nurse, and every year, every time she comes to my line, she's like, you greet her, you say hi, and she just is like, you know, and she doesn't do that with everybody else. I've noticed with other people in line, so I'm like, well, who knows what's going on there, and I just continue to be nice to her every time she comes through the line, and she continues to do the same thing, and have that frown, and when I say thank you, she still just walks off, doesn't even acknowledge me. And last week, she actually started talking to me.
Really?
Almost a year.
Huh.
Almost a year.
Almost a year of it. Wow.
And did you get any explanation as to why or anything?
She just smiled at me,
all
and
of
she
sudden
just started
opened up.
Talking. All of a sudden.
Maybe something in her life changed.
Well, but she's felt that way with the other people. I noticed when she went through other lines with
with other people working.
But she still kept coming through your line too.
Yeah. Well, because they're in a hurry, so they go through the shortest line.
Okay.
Do you know what I love about that, Paula?
What?
The fact that you said for a year you've just been still being polite and still being nice and friendly. You didn't pay back.
No.
Well, I don't know if it's evil, but you didn't pay back contempt or anything.
No, and I mean, I didn't like be rude to her or anything.
Though you didn't understand why she was doing that.
Yeah, because I thought, because you know, normally the old me would have took offense to that, because I noticed she was over here being nice to Becky or whoever.
Yeah.
Like smiling and talking.
Okay, I got to ask you something.
Yeah.
Did you take it personal?
When?
Ever.
Oh, no.
No?
Nope.
That's awesome.
Nope.
That's awesome.
Nope, I just thought, well, I'll just keep it. But it was like, it just, and when she said something, when she started talking to me, I was like, oh my gosh. I mean, it just shocked me. It shocked me. She started talking to me. So I just talked to her.
Yeah.
And I thought that was the end of it.
That's awesome.
Very cool.
I thought, wow. About the rest of the day. It was early in the morning, too, and I thought, wow, a whole year.
Yeah, that's a long time.
No?
That takes a lot of patience,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But we do have to have patience. You know, there's times that, you know, there's people that just kind of act, I don't know, distant or whatever like that, and I don't know about any of the rest of you, but when I have that situation, I start to assume things. You know, I start to assume that something's going on with them, or I start asking questions myself. Did I do something to offend them, or did I say something that, you know, that they don't like, or they didn't like, or they don't like me, or something, you know, or stuff like that. So, yeah, that's awesome to be patient for a year.
Well, I'm guesstimating, but it's been.
Well, yeah, even close.
It's been as long as I've been out there, and I've been out there a little over a year, so.
Well, we need to live in the Spirit, right? Every day we need to live in the Spirit. We need to be focused on prayer, the Word of God, submit to the Holy Spirit, share the treasure that we hold inside of us. I mean, honestly, the treasure, you know, that whole treasure in jars of clay is just, I kept thinking and thinking and thinking about that all the time this whole week. I was just like, you know, I know who I am. And I know how I'm falling apart. I'm getting old. I'm going away. I'm going to break the pieces and just be gone. And nobody's going to remember Ron. And it's okay. But what a treasure that we carry around. You know, for a while. For a while, maybe. You know, but.
Don't worry about it, George.
I don't worry about it. I don't know. My point is it's just like that treasure is eternity. That treasure is about Christ, and that treasure is something that, you know, we can't hide it in our sock drawer. We got to get out there and share that treasure. You know, that's something more valuable than anything that we're ever going to get in our hands on in this world. So that's all I have. And what time is it? No, I don't think we'll have time to start the other one. The next one's going to go really quick.
Is that just 20 we just finished?
Yes. You may not believe me, but the next one's going to go pretty quick.
What is the next one?
It says the Spirit reveals deep things of God, but I'm putting 21 and 22 together because 22 says the Spirit reveals what God has given to, or what has been given to us from God. And one of them is 1 Corinthians 2:10, and the other one is 1 Corinthians 2:12. So they're right there together. So we'll kind of put those together next week and do them all. Anybody got anything else? We'll just close in prayer.
We really need to pray for Bill and for Jen.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
She's really
getting depressed about not having a visitor. She doesn't understand why the church family hasn't been there. And I told her, I said, well, you have to, I remember when you were going through chemo, you didn't feel up to company, so a lot of people aren't sure that you are. and the smells, they just assume they can't come.
Yeah, that's...
The biggest thing is coffee and cigarettes. If you don't have coffee and cigarettes, but I told her yesterday that I would take a time slot and see if I could get some other ladies to take. She wants somebody with her 24/7. She's, and I remember going through this with my mom, but they get to a place where they just panic. They're afraid they're going to die. They don't, you know, they just want somebody with them. Even if they don't feel like talking.
They don't want to be
just,
alone.
Yes, they don't want to be alone. They just want you there beside them. So yeah. She wants somebody with her 24/7. Yeah. And between Bill, George, and Rick, and Desiree, it's about to wear them out. I'm just praying.
Karen enjoyed it yesterday.
Yeah, she did. So we just...
I wish I could go and sit with her.
Well, if you can't, you can't, you know. That's just how it is. But, you know, she still takes text messages and things like that. But just pray, too, that, you know, God will open up some schedules for people to be able to go there and sit with her. Guys or girls, either one.
Yeah.
She's getting ready to go home, though, right?
She wants to go home Monday in the care in hospice care, which I hope they'll let her do because they do a lot better at home than they do.
Yeah.
Where is she at?
She is. It used to be Autumn Healthcare over off of 40, but
okay.
It was called Avery or something.
I know right where it's at.
It's an older building. I mean, they just took it.
Yeah.
It's over there by
the
Rocco
and all that stuff. They're still understaffed. Yeah.
Okay. Somebody said 4th Street, and I'm like,
Flory.
I don't know anything
Flory.
On 4th Street.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word, and thank you for all that you are and all that you do for us and all that we have in you, Lord. We're so grateful. You know, you've given this treasure that we carry around. You've given us salvation, you've given us the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it's a life-changing event when we finally come to you, Lord. And there are so many people that every one of us know that don't know you. And some claim that they don't want to know you, or some are trying to run away from you, Lord, and some just haven't been told. And sometimes that's hard to believe, but there are so many that just haven't been told. And so, Lord, help us to share that treasure. Help us to get out there and share it with people that don't know you and let them know what you have done for us. Sometimes we just need to share our testimony. Sometimes we just need to put scripture out there, Lord. Just put your word out there and just let it resonate with inside of them, because that's the life-giving thing that changes our hearts and our minds. But help us to do that, Lord. We just offer ourselves up to you to be a vessel that you can use. And we just thank you for choosing us. What an amazing privilege that is. We lift up Janet and we lift up their whole family, Lord. I know that it is becoming very taxing on all of them. They want to be there. They want to do something. And Janet is in a place right now where there's not a whole lot that we can do, but we can reach out and we can be there with her and for her, Lord. And we can just give her that hope and that encouragement and that prayer. We can pray for her and with her. And we just lift that whole situation up to you, Lord. And if the right thing for her is to go home, then we ask that that's what happens, Lord, that she can be as comfortable as possible, that she can be in a place where people can see her and visit her and let her know that she is loved. And so we lift all of that up to you, Lord, and we just offer ourselves to you. And we just pray, Lord, for your peace. Help us to be peaceful and loving and to reach out and to be patient, even as Paula was patient for a year with that young lady, Lord, or with that person. Let us be patient with those around us. We just thank you and praise you, and we lift this up in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.